Okay, brethren, we're going to continue our session this afternoon. I'll now call on Brother Henry Greenhouse to come forward and give us his talk. The address is he's titled "Humble." Brother Henry.
Humble. There was a song many years ago. Some of you might remember it. I heard it again recently, and some of it went like this. Lord, it is hard to be humble when you are perfect in every way. Oh Lord, it is hard to be humble when you are perfect in every way. Well, that may be the way some of the world look at it, but what does the how does the Lord look at it? In Micah 6:8 he says, He that is God has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To do justly, because justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne, God's throne. Psalm 89:14. Justice is established there as it is the principle of righteousness. We need to walk humbly because of his abundant mercy. He has saved us, and each one needs to love that. The psalmist says, His mercy endureth forever. There is quite a number of places in Scripture where humble, humility, and humbled are used. In Proverbs 16:18-19 reads, Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be humble, of a humble spirit with the lowly, and to divide the spoil with the proud. What a contrast there. Pride, the opposite of humble, leads to falling from favour. In Isaiah 57:15, it tells us that God dwells with a humble and contrite one. It reads, For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. What a great need there is here for a humble and contrite heart, so that the great Creator, the Eternal One, can dwell there and revive these in times of conflict and distress. In Daniel 5 is recorded of two who are not humble, but full of pride. Chapter 5 starts off, Belshazzar the king had made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. Then he commanded the golden and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken from Jerusalem to be brought. And he and his princes, wives and concubines drank in them and praised the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. That same hour a hand came and wrote on the wall, and the king saw it, and his countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. Even his knees smote one against another. Verse 6. Then the king cried for all his wise men, astrologers and soothsayers, and he promised them special clothing and authority, even to the third ruler in the kingdom. But they could not read the writing or interpret it. The king's countenance was so changed by this occurrence that even his lords were astonished. From verse 10, the queen suggests, There is a man in thy kingdom who in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, an excellent spirit, interpreting of dreams, showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, was found in this same Daniel. Call him, he will show you the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought, but he did not want the gifts or rewards, but he would read the writing and make known it unto the king the interpretation. Daniel said, O thou king, the Most High God hath given thee a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honour. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. His heart was like the beast, they fed him grass, his body was wet with the dew of heaven. How long? Till he knew that the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men. And thou, his son, verse 22, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou know all this. So we see how pride and lack of humility brought these kings, powerful kings, into this situation. Daniel continued, you had lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they had brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thy lords and wives and concubines drink wine to gods of gold and silver, etc., which see not, neither know nor hear. And the God in whose hand the breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Daniel read the writing. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. The end of the chapter says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom. What an example we have here in those powerful kings whose hearts were lifted up with pride and whose lack of humility brought them to such life-changing experiences and even death. May we well learn from these examples how God sets up one ruler or kingdom and puts down another. Of course, the Israelites were captives in Babylon because of their lack of humility and obedience. We had some on that before. And of God's messengers given to them by the prophets before their captivity. There is also another example of the Israelites in Egypt and under their ruler Pharaoh in Exodus 10, verse 3 it reads, Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. But he would not, so there were three more plagues to come. A plague of locusts, chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. Still he refused to let them go. So next came the plague of darkness, as recorded in verses 21 to 29 of Exodus 10. He would not let them go with their flocks and herds, only the people. So it came to the Passover of Exodus chapter 12, when all the firstborn in Egypt were slain, even the cattle. But the Israelites were passed over, being under the blood. Then they were hurried out of the land. We see here how Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not humble himself to let God's people go, until a great calamity came upon him and his people. It is interesting to note in Revelation under the sixth trumpet and second row of chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, the ones there repented not of their evil deeds. Also in Revelation chapter 16, verse 8 to 11, under the pouring of the fourth and fifth vial or bowl, the ones there blaspheme the name of God and repented not of their deeds, or to give God glory. We had a study on that yesterday and looked into that. There is still this attitude continuing in this present evil world. There is another example with the nation of Israel after they left Egypt, a stiff-necked and rebellious people with many complaints. In the fifth book of Moses, called Deuteronomy, at the end of their 40 years wandering in the wilderness, Moses recalled many of their experiences and their attitudes. Moses was not even allowed to cross over the promised land because of a mistake he made, but could only view it from Mount Pisgah. Joshua was to lead the people over. Deuteronomy 3, verse 21 to the end. In chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, it explains the reason for their experiences from verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto you, unto your fathers. They were to remember all the way God led them, the 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. Their raiment waxed not old, neither did their foot swell. That they shall also consider in their heart that the Lord chasteneth them, and they could not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. The last part of verse 16 tells us the purpose of these experiences, that he might humble thee and might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end, so you will not say, my own hand and power hath gotten me the wealth. What a number of examples for us to learn from. As it says in one place, these things were written beforehand for our instruction and learning. There is more lessons in Kings and Chronicles than the Chronicles of the Kings. Of kings that did evil, but then repented or humbled themselves when things were going against them. And God was willing to forgive, at least for a time, to test their sincerity, their intentions were. In 1 Kings 21 from verse 17, it says, the word of the Lord come unto Elijah to go down to Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, because he has sold himself to do evil, and the dogs would come and lick his blood and eat Jezebel his wife. Verse 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up by or incited. Verses 27 to 29. And it came to, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how that Ahab humbled himself before me. Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring this evil in his days, but in his son's days I'll bring the evil upon his house. In fact, I was quite surprised or astonished when I always thought of Ahab as so evil, and how he had repented to some extent, and the Lord had willing to give him this mercy for a time at least. in 2 Kings chapter 22 tells of good King Josiah. He cares for the repairs of the temple. In verse 19:20 it says of him, "Because thine heart was tender, and thou humblest thyself before the Lord, when thou hardest what I spoke against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that thou should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, into the grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil that I will bring up on this place." We can also remember Josiah also kept the most solemn Passover, recorded in 2 Kings 23, verse 21 to 23. King Hezekiah did right in the sight of the Lord, and he offered solemn sacrifices and proclaimed the solemn Passover, and prepared himself, his people, and the city against the invasions of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. But the Lord sent an angel and destroyed the enemy outside the wall of Jerusalem at night. Read 2 Chronicles chapters 29 to 32 about that. From verse 24 of chapter 32, it tells us Hezekiah was sick, and God gave him a sign. But he rendered not again to the benefits done unto him, for his heart was lifted up, and wrath was upon him, and Judah and Jerusalem. This is the time when pride came to the fore, after all the experiences he had had. Verse 26. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so the wrath of the Lord came not upon him in the days of Hezekiah. How many lessons and examples have we with those ones of old, ones in high places and the people, even good ones who made mistakes at times, and the great mercy and forgiveness of our God to those who repented and humbled themselves, as he tested and proved them to see what really was in their hearts, to serve him or not. Some of us have recently been doing a Skype on the internet study of Esther and Mordecai and Haman. And Haman hated the Jews. There was another song once. I heard it recently. Some of you might remember it too. And part of it went, "These boots are made for walking, and one of these days, these boots are going to walk right over you." That typified some of the worldly rulers and Haman who hated the Jews and wanted them annihilated. But the tables were turned on him, and he was hung on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And Mordecai was humble and returned to the gate of the king after he had been honoured. We'll look now at some words of instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 18:1-4. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and said, and set him in the midst of them and said, "Except ye be converted and come as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Luke 14, verse 7 to 11. He put forth a parable to those who, when bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that by thee and him come and say to you, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lower room. But when you are bidden, go and sit down the lowest room, that when he that by thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then shall thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. These are good words of instruction from the Master for all of us. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 gives some very good advice and instruction. I'd like to read a few verses starting at verse 10. And having put off the old man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek or Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. Now from verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not as to men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, for there is no respecter of persons. Some thoughts of St. Peter and James on the subject. 1 Peter 2 verse 13-14. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Verse 18 and 19. Servants, be gentle to your masters with all fear, for not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now to verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow in his steps. And Peter continues on the next chapter, 3, verse 1 to 4 and 7. Likewise, ye wives, be in subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation, or that's manner of life of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And whose adorning, let it not be that of an outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Yes, it is of great price or value in God's sight, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is not corruptible. Verse 7 of chapter 3. Likewise, husbands, give honour unto their wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of God. St. Peter continues in chapter 5. Verses 5 to 7. No doubt he had learned many of these lessons through his life of experience, where he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And James has the same type of advice in 4 verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. The greatest example and pattern for us to follow is that set for us in the earthly life of our Lord Jesus, as recorded in Philippians 2 verses 7 to 9, which reads, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Here is recorded Jesus' great humility in leaving his high position with the Father to become man, then humbled himself even to crucifixion and to death. On his last night he only asked for the glory he had before to be restored to him. But God has exalted him still higher. What a wonderful example is set for his followers. I'd like to go back and take about half a page out of my talk for the International Convention. It's recorded about Jesus there in Hebrews 5, verse 7 and 8. There's a reference to this trying occasion, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers with supplication, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. The margin has for feared, he was heard for his piety. And verse 8 has, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. This word feared in Strong is 2124, and it is only used this once. It is spelt E-U-L-A-B-E-I-A, meaning cautious, reverence, piety, dread, feared. Young's Concordance has for this word, from or on account of his cautiousness. It is interesting to look also at a number of translations. The Diaglot had, he was heard for his devotion. Rotherham has been hearkened to by the reason of his devoutness. Taylor reads, because of his strong desire to obey God at all times. Henry Alford has, by reason of his reverent submission. And Williams translated, because of his beautiful spirit of worship, his prayer was heard. In stark contrast to this is the example of Lucifer, as recorded in Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? The margin has, O day star. In Job 38, there is a reference to this. God asked Job, where was he when God laid the foundation of the earth? Then verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Then continues verse 12 of Isaiah 14. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. See also Ezekiel 28, verse 11 to 19. And verse 13 reads, who had been in the Garden of Eden. I would now like to look at Acts 8:33 and have a close look at it. I'd like you to think particularly about this portion. This is when Philip came to the eunuch in his chariot, and it read from Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. That refers to Jesus being like a lamb that is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And verse 33 reads, of Acts 8, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Many translations read this way. It is often said how unfair his trial was. It was only a fast, which it was. The rulers' hatred for Jesus was such that they didn't keep to the rules of running a fair trial and judgment or decision. That Jesus could have adequately defended himself if it had been in the Father's plan to be so, but it wasn't. And Jesus was devoted to fulfilling his Father's plan. There is two translations I have which reads differently. Moffat has, by humbling himself he had his doom removed. And Williams F. Beck's in the New Testament, in the language of today, reads very similar. When he humbles himself, his condemnation will be taken away. Perhaps if we turn that round and it might show what I'm getting at, is his condemnation will be taken away because he humbled himself. Now, the Greek word here for judgment is crisis, K-R-I-S-I-S. Vine's dictionary says it primarily means a separation, then a decision. It is often said when a person comes to a crisis, the result could go either way. Could it be that Jesus had his judgment, crisis, taken away because of his humility? Therefore, his condemnation, or doom, as one translation has, is removed, or any condemnation or doom is removed as far as his relationship with his Father is concerned. I would be interested to hear your thoughts on that. We know that Jesus always desired to do the Father's will, even in drinking the cup of woe on the last day of his human life. The Father's description of him was, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus always had confidence and assurance in the Father's promises and power. The Apostle Paul had confidence that he had fought a good fight and that there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness. I wish for all here who are running the narrow way the words of 1 John 4:17 or 16:17. God is love, and he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness or confidence in the day of judgment, at this crisis or decision. That we may have confidence in it, that we run well. And conclude with Revelation 16, verse 7. I heard another one out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. That is, in a crisis, his decisions are true and righteous. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Henry. So many examples of humility in the scriptures and pride. And as the proverb said, pride goes before the fall. Brother Henry has requested hymn 296 to attend with his talk. Oh, to be nothing, nothing, only to lie at his feet, a broken and empty vessel from the Master's use, for the Master's use made meet. 296 in the Bible student, 229 in the Dawn.
Thank you.
to call upon Brother Robin Martin to come forward and close our session with prayer. Thank you.
We thank the Heavenly Father for this wonderful opportunity to gather together in His name to learn all the things that there are of Him and His Heavenly Kingdom, the many, many lessons that there are in the Scriptures. The most important ones, of course, being obedience and loyalty and humility, unquestioning service to Him. We ask for Him to send His angels to be with those who can't be here today, messengers of God to be with those who are unwell. We pray for the world in general, the shocking, sad state that it's in. We look for the kingdom, we pray for the kingdom, we know it is close at hand. All the things that we've seen and studied all these years have taught us that it's now more close than ever. We pray for all these things, Heavenly Father. We look to Thee for everything. We ask for Your help to get us through the coming years and days. All these things we do ask through our Jesus Christ, our Lord's name. Amen.
Just a reminder that we're going to do the photo now. And as I look around, everybody's perfect, so you don't need to put any lippy on or do your hair, or somebody's waving at me. Yes? Well, they're coming, so I don't want everybody running off because we're going to need you. Just okay, and also a reminder that the card is over there at the table for Brother Gary Garlock. Okay, so if you'll give us the pleasure of just writing a quick message and sort of spiritual upbuilding and support. Okay. So if anybody needs to get their camera, if they haven't already got it, they can run out and get it. But other than that, nobody leaves this room.